All right, my message today is called From Faith to Faith. Everybody say faith to faith. And I just wanted to share this partially because one of my spiritual, I want to call him a hero, something when I first heard Jerry Savelle speak years and years and years ago, I said, man, this guy has got it. And there was something about the way he taught that connected to me as a personality, as a person. And he went and had his home going last week. So so I got to watch his message, the one he delivered the Sunday before, before his home going, and he shared, the message was kind of called Faith to Faith and Glory to Glory. And I said, you know, I'm just going to share a little bit on faith today. And talk about this wonderful passage and just kind of, let's just go through it, okay? Let's talk about what it means to go from faith to faith. Everybody say, from faith to faith. And I want you to turn to your neighbor. We're going to do some stuff together, okay? So turn to your neighbor. So we've got the two back there, Kathy and, okay. So go, everybody go like this, okay? From faith to faith. Yeah. So that's one way we can do it, right? From the faith of God. Because by faith we understand, right? And then also, we can also go from faith, point to yourself, from faith to faith. That means your faith can actually bring faith in somebody else, right? Right? Okay, now point to yourself and go from faith to faith. Yeah, that means you start somewhere with faith, but then you actually go somewhere else with faith. You actually finish and stay in faith and not do something else. Okay, so I want to look at different ways that we could see that message. And it's found, of course, in Romans chapter 1. So turn to Romans chapter 1, and I'm just going to give you the context of it, how Paul, you know, starting with verse 1, he was called to be an apostle. He's never been to Rome. So he says, this gospel, which God himself, right, promised beforehand through the prophets and the Holy Scriptures concerning his son. So the gospel is all about Jesus. Can you say amen to that? The gospel is all about Jesus. If you hear a preacher talk about the gospel and there ain't no Jesus, it ain't no gospel. Can somebody say amen to that? It's got to have Jesus in it or there's no gospel. All right? And sometimes we preachers tend to talk about all the other stuff and then like, what about Jesus going on in here? So I want you to see here, he immediately says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus. Just so you know what I'm all about. Because Paul could have talked a lot about himself. He could have said, Paul, the rabbi, the chief rabbi, studying with this person and how I know this scripture and that scripture. He said, Paul, I'm a slave of Jesus. I'm a servant of Jesus. I'm here to do what he says. Amen. And then he says, I'm called an apostle and I've been set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised in the Holy Scripture concerning his son. So it's all about Jesus, who is descended from David according to the flesh and declared to be the son of God in power. And there's the Spirit now, the Holy Spirit, according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. Here it is again. Everybody say it with me. Ready? Jesus Christ, our Lord. There it is. And then he says, I'm going to preach this gospel to all the nations. And he's writing this letter because he really wants to be there with them. And he hasn't gotten there yet. And so he says, you know what? I'm going to write a letter and say to you in Rome what I would say to you if I were there myself. And wow, aren't you glad that Paul wrote this letter? Because he's telling us what he's all about here. This is it. And then in verse 9, he says, for God is my witness. Now, God was already working in Rome through the ministry of others. He says, God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit. There's the Holy Spirit in the gospel of Jesus, that without ceasing, I mention you always in prayer. And I want to come see you, and I want to impart a spiritual gift. Now, let's go on now. Verse 16. For I am not ashamed. These are the most phenomenal verses to me, powerful. I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is, the gospel is the power of God. Everybody say God. For salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Now, I believe it means first in order, right? Because Jesus came to the Jews first, but then also now all the Greek-speaking people, all right? And he says, for in the gospel, a righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, or for faith, it says in ESV, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Amen. So we're not going to finish this sentence there. We're going to stop right there on that verse, and we're going to talk about what it means to come from faith for faith. So the righteousness of God is revealed. And so as I began to think of this, and I was listening to Jerry Savelle, he focused on what he calls ever-increasing faith. And that was a book written by Smith Wigglesworth, and I happen to have it. And his whole concept there is that God doesn't want your faith to stay small. He doesn't want your faith to stay as it is. He wants your faith to grow. He wants your faith to grow or increase. And of course, Smith Wigglesworth called it ever increasing. That means that you start with something, you start with faith, and then it says for faith. So the faith that you start with becomes productive and it grows. It produces more and produces more and produces more. It's like God saying, I really like that guy Dave over there. And I want to invest in him faith because I know it's going to grow. I know it's going to grow. I know that Heidi, if I give her a portion of faith, that faith is not going to stay there. It's going to be more when she's, I'm not going to say how old she is now because that's really not smart for guys to talk about women's age. But when she's older than she was before when she first had faith. Now, so here's what I want you to think about. And we could talk about it in various ways. But I will give you a testimony. And then, of course, when I really came into faith, I came into saving faith when I was 17. But I had faith before then. I had faith before then in Jesus. And I had the fear of God in my life. And I went to church. And I tried my best to do what God wanted me to do, but I didn't know the power of God. Everybody say power of God. And it takes the faith of God to give you the power of God. Whoa. It takes the faith of God to give you the power of God. And there are too many Christians living without the power of God. They go to church for whatever reason, and I'm glad they're going to church and they're hearing the word of God, but they don't have the faith of God and you don't see the power of God. So I got the power of God and it just totally wrecked me right before I went to college. And I will never forget this. We were having a revival. Amen, Mike. I prophesy, girl. Okay. Come on. She's like, yeah, yeah. Okay, so we were having a revival on campus my freshman year, and God just started showing up and started doing all kinds of healings and stuff like that. And people started coming more and more and more. We had a campus Christian group that met, I forgot whatever night it was. Marianne would know because she doesn't forget anything. She's amazing. And we started seeing people healed and demons fly out of people. We didn't know what we were doing because no one ever taught me in church how to cast out demons and pray for the sick because we didn't do it. And so I'll never forget this. I think it was a gal named Karen, and you know who Karen was, you know, good Italian name. Yeah, huh? Well, I was, here's what happened. We were just praying for healing, and I was like half asleep in my dorm room, and Karen said, hey, listen, can you pray for me? Because I've got this, I think it was a toothache or something. I just felt really bad. Abscess tooth. And I said, look, you come on over to the dorm room and I'll pray for you. And I was so tired that night. I didn't bother getting out of bed. So you just walked right up to my bed. I said, oh, Karen, hey, I just took my hand and put it on her head. Lord, heal her in Jesus' name, and rolled over. And that was it. She left. And the next day she told me, the Lord touched me and healed me. I have no more abscess tooth. And I didn't even know what I was doing. All I did was pray in faith. I just obeyed the Lord. And the Lord just did it. So I thought, well, God gave me some faith. Now I'm going to pray for somebody else. You hear what I'm saying? So you don't sit on it. In other words, when God does something for you and you see the power of God because of faith, right? Because you can't have the power of God unless you have the faith of God. That's where the power comes. So you see a situation where you pray for something like a headache or something like that, and they get healed. So then you say, well, praise God. I started with a headache. Let's do something better. Let's believe God for more. Let's just pray and ask God. And there are times where you get scared. You don't want to pray for somebody because you're afraid it's not going to happen. Right? You're afraid it's not going to happen. But what does God do? He says, I'm going to give you faith for more faith. Everybody say that. I'm going to give you faith for more faith. So that when you get the faith and you act on it and you see the power of God, even if it's just a little thing that you know God did it, you know that God did it, then you can say, all right, let's believe God for more. Let's believe God for more. Let's believe God for more. And I'll even use the example of finance. Say you need $20 and you don't have anything. God oftentimes will get you finances, and sometimes all you need is a little bit. Believe God for the little, and then God, you can believe God for more. And I'm just going to tell you, I believe God over the years for various amounts of stuff, you know. When I was here, praise God. I mean, I can tell testimony to testimony. I'm telling you testimonies, but I know how many of you have had a situation where you ask God to provide for something for you, and it wasn't a lot, but it's what you needed. See what I'm saying? It's what you needed. It wasn't a lot, but it's what you needed. And you trust the Lord, and next thing you know, it comes. And then you say, well, Lord, how about that other person? We'll talk about it, what it means to have faith for someone else. But here it is. You've got faith, and you're trusting the Lord, and then God gives you more. And he says, okay, now I want you to trust me for more. And so one of the testimonies I had was when we took the trip down to Africa, we took this trip down to Africa in October of 2022. These guys came along. Deborah Burgess came. And I'll never forget it. I wanted to bring a team to Africa. And Alan Leppett, who's coming a couple weeks, I really wanted Alan to come from England. Because I just love the way he does worship, and I love his heart for God. And so I was like, Alan, would you come with me to to this trip to Rwanda to do this worship school? He says, sure, I will. He says, and then he said, okay, well, can you raise the funds for me? And you see, my mindset up to that time was, you know, you raise your own funds and you go on a mission trip. But the Lord said, do it. Raise his funds. So it was about, I would say about $1,800 a person to go, which was actually darn good. Maybe a little more than that. But we had gotten a good deal and some stuff like that. She was part of this too. It was like raising money. And so then I started asking other people to be on a team. And you know what the Lord told me? He said, raise the money for the entire team. How many were on the team? 10. Do the math. Now, some people contributed what they could, okay? I'm not saying that I put in every dollar, but some people raised their own money. So I've got the word out. I got the word out to different people, you know what I'm saying? I just put the word out on there, and all the money came in. Now, I'm not saying I didn't put any money in. I'm not saying that. I put whatever I could in, but God took care of the entire team. There's some people that didn't put maybe $100 in. Some team members. Okay, some put more in themselves, but there were some team members that put in only a couple $100. Some team members maybe put more. I'm not going to say, but all of the money came in. I'd never done that before. I had to step in to, for what I trusted the Lord before, into something new, more. All right, so here's what I want us to do. I want you to take your partner, turn to them, and ask them, when God did something for you, and you knew it was God, and it was a small thing. See, if just think about it. I just want you to think about it. And then I want you to think, Lord, is there something that I have to believe more for now? Now, I'm going to talk about the nature of faith. What are we talking about when we say faith? I believe faith is always focused in the person of Jesus and not in the object we need, our need. Okay? So the faith is in a person. And you cannot have a relationship with a person without some kind of level of faith in that person. I mean, that's just the bottom line. If you don't really believe in that person, if that person is not telling you the truth about anything, and there are people like that that just spin stuff, and you're like, after a while, you're like, I don't know if I can trust what you've got to say. But another word for faith is confidence. That means you're talking to somebody who really knows what they're talking about. All right? One way that we have confidence, like if we have confidence in an electrician. So I learned, talk to an electrician if you need to have confidence, because I know that they won't be blowing smoke, the expression. Okay? Yeah, right. So that just really helps. And so faith is confidence in truth. In truth. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So when you know that you're in the right direction and that you know that what they say is really, really true, and then you've got life that comes with it, that gives you so much confidence. Then you can really believe in who they are. Everybody say who they are. So they are what they are, right? What they say and what they do. So you have confidence. Faith means when we have faith in Jesus, we have faith that he is the Son of God. That's who he is, right? We have faith that what he says is true. Glory to God. I'm getting chills. And we have faith in what he's going to do. And we know he's coming. He's coming. Okay? And we know that what he does is good. All right? and that Jesus is wants to do good for us, and that he is able to do good. So he not only has the desire to bless you, but he has the power to bless you. So when you pray, you know you have the confidence. So if somebody says, I am going to come over and fix your messed up electric box, he has not only got the willingness to come, right? Come on now. He's got the power to do it. He's got the parts sitting in his truck, right? And he is going to do exactly what he said he's going to do. He's not going to come there and then you got to call him back because it didn't really get fixed. So that Jesus can do everything he's able to do. And we're going to talk about here, Romans 9, verse 30, it says, Paul says this, what shall we say then that the nations who did not pursue righteousness have attained to it? That is a righteousness by faith, but that Israel pursued a law that would lead to righteousness did not succeed in reaching it. Why? Because they did not pursue righteousness from faith. They did it on works. And so here's the thing. We know what righteousness is by knowing Jesus. And we have to be very clear about that. We cannot just take scripture out of context. We have to take it in Jesus. We have to see the word in Jesus, because the Pharisees were really good with the scriptures. But Jesus told them, you really don't know the scriptures nor the power of God. You don't know either. Even though they were quoting scripture to him and they were criticizing him because he healed people on the Sabbath, because they didn't know the truth in Christ. They didn't have Jesus in them telling them what the scripture really means. And we need faith to know the word. Let me say it again. We need faith to know the word. You cannot really know the word apart from faith. It's the faith in Christ that makes the word real to you and powerful to you. It makes it happen to you because of believing in Jesus. Okay, so I want you to turn now to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. Because I was really asking the Lord about this. I said, Lord, show me the trajectory of my faith, okay? What does my faith look like? Is it just, do you know, okay, now I'm a Christian, I believe God. Is your faith just like a flat line? No, flat line means you're not alive, basically. Okay, we don't want a flat line faith. What does it mean? We've got faith that's on this kind of trajectory going up. And so 2 Thessalonians 1, 3, we ought to always to give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly. Abundantly. It's growing it says a large degree. Everybody say large degree. That means faith is growing, and it's not just little bitty growth. God wants our faith to just really like, woo, just really grow. He's telling the Thessalonians. Now, I have to say, there are seasons in my life where I feel like my faith grows more big and more, you know, it's not always, I don't think it's always like big all the time, but there are seasons where I think it really, really takes big steps. Okay? And it says, but here's what's really cool about it. And the love of every one of you for another is increasing. Wow. What does that look like? How does it mean? What does it look like to have more love than you had before? See what I'm saying? There is an increase to love, not a decrease in love. Worldly love can often decrease because it's based on hormones and chemicals, right? Feelings, moods, right? But spiritual love increases. When it says increasing, and love just gets better and better. Can I give you one way that I found an increase in love in my life? I learned about love languages. And when I learned about love languages, I learned that there are more ways than you can love somebody than you're used to, because I tend to favor certain kinds of love languages. So what I learned is to love somebody in a way that I've never tried before. So that's one way to grow in love, in faith, is by learning how to love differently, in a way that maybe you haven't done before, or to be useful. That means you can do it. So like for some people, their love language may be gifts. Their love language may be words of affirmation. Their love language, and there's different ones. Okay, touch. Some people are just very touchy in a very positive way. And I don't have to mention, there are people in this church that are very touchy type love people, and that's how they express their friendship. And if you're not used to that, then it can sometimes freak you out. Right? But what I'm saying is, increase your love. Try something different. You see what I'm saying? It's godly. Do it. You know, increase. God wants to increase our love for each other. For some people, it's acts of service, like making barbecue, cleaning the church, or fixing something. That's acts of service. That got me going with her in the very beginning. I came over to the house and fixed the plumbing, and then I smelled really good cooking. Found out who was doing it. I said, I like this person. More. See what I'm saying? All right. Now, so we got to do that. Now, how can your faith grow? We talked about it. We talked about how your faith can grow. But I'm going to talk to you about another aspect of faith that sounds like almost the opposite. Okay. So I want you to turn to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. But I think you'll get it after we look at it. Okay. Luke chapter 17. And I'm going to actually go there because I want to. Verse 3. It says, pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in the day, seven times a day, and turns to you seven times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. And you know what they said after that? Lord, increase our faith. Help, help, help. Yeah, yeah. Seven times annoying. Seven times acting. And you want to dish it back to them. And the Lord says, don't dish it. Don't give it back. Just tell them what they did. Rebuke them. Tell them, look, you sinned against me. You got to apologize. You just really did something that really hurt me. Tell them, because a lot sometimes they don't even know if they did it. Isn't it the truth, guys? Sometimes someone will sin against you and not realize it. So you got to tell them. And then they said, we want to have faith to be able to forgive. If you don't, what are they called? What's that called in the Bible? Root of what? Root of bitterness. A root of bitterness is when you cannot or do not forgive someone and you carry that in you towards them. You never forgive them. And then that just stays and it kind of churns. And they said, increase our faith. Increase our faith, right? So I can forgive this person. So what does Jesus tell them? He doesn't tell them to have more faith. He just tells them, if you have faith, you got to put your faith. You got to have faith for this. So here's what I want to ask you to do. I want you to ask the Lord, Lord, is there an area of my life where I'm not exercising faith in that I need to? See, some Bible teachers will teach you to exercise faith for money or finances or provision, or they'll have you exercise faith for healing or whatever. But what if there's an area in your life that you're not exercising faith for because you don't think that's what is covered by the faith principle? See what I'm saying? Like, we believe God. Oh, I believe God for a new car. Well, what if there's something in your life that you should be believing God for, like the way you're treating somebody? Or like the way somebody treated you. And you just think, I just don't have it in me to be nice to that person. Well, how about exercising some faith for that? Just think about it. There may be something that you're like, Lord, give me faith now. Help. He says, because if you have it, what are you going to be able to do? Tell that mountain to get out. Right? What did he say? No, not the mountain. It was a mulberry tree. Don't tell we have a mulberry tree over there in the corner. Don't you tell any mulberry trees around here to go. I like them. Okay? You can eat the fruit. But what I'm trying to say is, you can have faith in an area that maybe you've never exercised faith for. So can we just take a second? Right now, I want you to pray for your neighbor. And I want you to say, pray for them and pray that they're going to find something to believe God for that maybe they haven't believed God for yet. Amen? Now turn to Philippians chapter 1, verse 25. We're going to wrap it up right on this verse. Convinced. Again, convinced is faith, right? I know that I will remain. Notice when he's acting convinced, he makes declarations. Convinced of this, I know. That's a declaration. I know that I will remain and continue with y'all. Why? For your progress. That means faith doesn't just grow in size. Faith goes somewhere and it takes you somewhere. It takes you to new, I feel the presence of the Lord. Takes you to new places. It takes you to places, people, and things, and it gives you a sense of progress in your life. Amen. Everybody say progress. I'm making my way on the right road and I'm getting to my destination and I'm going and I'm making progress. And that's an important concept. It's not so much having more of something. It's having faith to progress along the way and to do something either better or do something, you know, more with more skill or with more blessing, and you know, so you can get progress. You feel like you're getting somewhere. That is a tremendous frustration if you feel like you're doing the same thing and you're not doing anything different, and therefore you're getting the same results. But God wants us to make progress so that we do something that will give us more, and with it comes joy. So you have progress and joy in the faith, in your faith. Progress and joy, because when you make progress, you can rejoice. You have a joyfulness because the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That means when you have the joy of the Lord because of faith, you're strong and you're able to do things that you didn't think you could do without him. It says, in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus. So what that joy does, because of this faith, that joy brings glory out of you. It brings glory out of you. It brings power out of you. It brings praise out of you. It means you just don't sit on your hands in the spirit, something comes out of you that wants to bring glory, and glory is not invisible. Everybody say that. Glory is not invisible. It is not something that can, glory is something that can be seen, can be touched, can be tasted, it can be felt. Glory is something you see and feel. Okay, if I want to give my wife a beautiful gold ring and I just say, okay, I've just given it to you in my heart. I'm going to get a correction, right? Why? She wants something that she could put on her finger and see it and experience it and know it. And God says, I want to manifest my glory to you. Manifested glory is something you see and you feel and you experience and you know. It's there. It's manifest. It's displayed. That's glory. Glory can be a beautiful piece of artwork. I mean, there's different artistic people here who can make something beautiful that's visual. Every time you see it, you go, yeah, wow. It just makes an impact on you. Same thing, something that you hear, a glorious sound that brings joy. Why? It sounds really good. Whatever I'm hearing, it just sounds so awesome. It could be a voice. It could be just a strum on a guitar that brings glory. And God's presence himself is manifest. That means you see it. You see it. You experience it in some way. And sometimes not everybody sees it, and that's okay. But there are times when God wants to manifest his glory, and the joy of the Lord is the, what is the word for it? It is the sign that glory is here. Joy is an expression of glory.